Jerry Bader Show, 9:35. The Brewers defeated the Pittsburgh Pirates 5-2. They actually could have scored a lot more runs than that, but they only needed five. They have now won three in a row. I think winning this series with the Pirates is really big. I believe the Cardinals came back and beat the Cubs. They were trailing. I don't know that. And I forgot to check. Jason's checking on that. But going into yesterday, this is very interesting. Going into yesterday, the Brewers were the only NL Central team above 500. Now, I still think, particularly St. Louis, but I think Cincinnati too. Yeah, they did. 4-3 in 12. Dang. So it did go to extra innings. It was 3-2 in the eighth. That's the last that I saw. I don't recall if that puts the Cardinals at 500 or just above 500. But most of the rest, as of yesterday, the rest of the division going into yesterday's games were, yeah, they're at 500. That's it. The Brewers are nine games above 500. St. Louis at 500. Cincinnati, three games below 500. Pittsburgh, which had been hot coming into Milwaukee, 16-22, and the Cubs are 13-25. If they can get healthy, I am perfectly comfortable that April wasn't a fluke. I am perfectly comfortable with that. But boy, if they can just keep people on the field. Braun left early. No one is really sure why. Something happened to Gomez, too. I don't recall what. And he's got a suspension coming up. Boy, if they can keep everybody on the field, I'm still feeling pretty good about them. I want to remind you of this, and I'm guilty of not reminding you of this yesterday and Monday. A fifth grader from California sent a letter to the editor of Green Bay Papers asking for help with a class project, and we have hijacked that from the papers. I don't know if it's a he or a she, but the student's name is Sydney, an 11-year-old fifth grader at Orinda, California's Gloriet Elementary School. They were assigned a project to learn about the states in the United States. He chose Wisconsin. They had to pick a state, apparently. Did this because he loves its features and its cheese. I'm hoping to get some help from the people of Wisconsin. Will you please send me information, items, or interesting facts about your beautiful state to share with my classmates? He then gave a mailing address. What I'm asking you to do is send your stuff, any thoughts you have for Sydney, to me at Jerry Bader Show at MWCRadio.com. Jerry Bader Show at MWCRadio.com. And what I'm going to do is contact the school today and get an email address. This assignment is due a week from Friday. So I want to get this stuff to him by Friday. And I already have received a number of emails from listeners. I've started a folder in my email, a Sydney folder. So it's Jerry Bader Show at MWCRadio.com. And a friend of the show who has access to cheese is arranging to send him, or her, send Sydney some cheese to share with the class. He's going to try to time it out so the package would arrive. Very, very cool. So I think it's neat that the kid picked Wisconsin, and I want to help Sydney out in any way that we can. So rather than give you the snail mail address and all of that, I would like your stuff by Friday, though. And I'll hit it hard on the show on Friday. Just anything you know about Wisconsin or a direction in which you would want to point Sydney. And it's cool that a kid in California knows enough about Wisconsin that he wanted to do this. So send your stuff to Jerry Bader Show at MWCRadio.com. Jerry Bader Show at MWCRadio.com. One of the biggest criticisms of not just this show, but pretty much any conservative talk show, is that we don't criticize conservatives. Now, of course, we do, or don't criticize Republicans. And the argument often is, well, yeah, you only criticize them when you don't think they're being conservative enough. It's true that we do tend to criticize them for that. But I criticize conservatives for misdeeds. I don't stand behind them when they say or do something irretrievably stupid, the way liberals and Democrats stand behind theirs until they just simply can't anymore. That they never gave up the ship with Bill Clinton is how he survived his presidency. Oh, you know what? They're going to have my back here. So that's really okay. And there are others. Anthony Weiner. They were ready to give him another chance until they realized he was still doing bleep shots on Twitter and the social media. They never, ever got tired of that guy.
Ask me about my wiener.
I guess you could say they stood firm with him, huh? Oh, come on. When's the last time I did one like that?
Ask me about my wiener.
Huh? Well, they were able to stand behind him because he provided cover. Is that enough now? Yeah, okay. Well, but that's exactly, okay, it is literally ridiculous. You can ridicule him, but they did. They defended him until they realized he was absolutely toxic. Dan Bice did a piece earlier this week that I think some conservatives would be quick to call a hit piece. I will not. It involves central, by the way, you can tell today's the day when I'm catching up. This is kind of like day old donut day on the Jerry Bader Show. There are things I just didn't get to yesterday that I knew were out there. Some of them I teased. I did not tease this one. This involves Central Wisconsin state lawmaker Scott Krug. Dan Bice did a piece that, Jason, just heat up those day-old donuts in the microwave and they're fresh again. I don't have to heat these up. These just kept on their own nicely. Dan Bice did a piece on State Representative Scott Krug, and I do not believe it's a hit piece. He calls him out for reneging on a couple of rather significant campaign pledges back in 2010. Krug, riding the Republican wave of 2010, defeated longtime pain-in-the-butt Central Wisconsin lawmaker Snarlin Marlin Schneider. In so doing, the Nakusa Republican vowed, reading from Bice here, not to collect 1 cent of legislative per diem money ever if elected. Per diems are the $88 daily payments lawmakers receive for lodging, food, and other expenses while working in Madison. But records show that Krug, citing the success of Act 10, quietly reversed course last year, finishing in the top 20 in the state assembly by collecting $10,560 in per diem payments for 120 days of work in Madison. That comes on top of his salary of about $50,000 a year. Now, another promise is falling by the wayside. Late in the 2010 general election, Krug, who survived a tough GOP primary, decided to play the term limit card. 2 terms, and that would be it. I'm for real, Krug said during a videotaped League of Women Voters of the Wisconsin Rapids Area Forum on October 20th, 2010. My kids are 11, 10, 9, 8, and 7. If I went there for more than 4 years, they'd probably disown me. So even if I don't favor term limits, he continued, I'm putting a term limit on myself right now for all the audience out there listening. 4 years, done. Whoever else wants to come along, more than fine, but Krug isn't done. After narrowly winning a second term in 2012, he's back again this year, gearing up to run for his 5th and 6th years in the legislature. What happened now? Kids changed their minds, or was it Act 10 once again? None of the above. Krug suggested last week that he'd become too valuable for the people of his district to walk away now. After serving in the legislature for 4 years, I've learned that experience matters. Well, it didn't matter when it was Marlin Schneider. I'm not going to defend him on this because it's indefensible. You made promises. And you're reneging on them. You cannot be trusted. And this is painful because he's been a rock-solid conservative lawmaker. Don't make promises you can't keep. I think this criticism is perfectly valid. And I have no defense. You said you were only running for two terms. What the hell did you say that for if you didn't mean it? You said you wouldn't accept the per diem payments. Why did you say that if you didn't mean it? Does this make him vulnerable? I'm not going to defend those who would challenge him from those who would challenge him on this, because it's indefensible. And as breaking promises go, his excuses for doing so are particularly lame. It's extremely disappointing. There's that, then there's this. Long time, really Jurassic, House of Representative member John Conyers at the moment is not on the ballot in Michigan. Why? For one of the dumbest reasons possible. By the way, I criticized a Republican in Wisconsin when he whiffed on this. He didn't get enough signatures to get on the ballot. He may have to mount a write-in campaign to win his 26th term in the House of Representatives. John Conyers. I guarantee, however, he's not going to have to do that. In fact, Rush Limbaugh made this the topic of his morning update today. Here's what happened. Some of the people he used to collect signatures, people that go around and have the clipboard and they, you know, I want you to say John Conyers and you sign. Under Michigan law, those people need to be registered voters. The people who go collect the signatures, some of those weren't. So the signatures they collected aren't valid. Conyers' spokesperson is saying, we're going to challenge that law. We're going to challenge the law that says you have to be a registered voter and other residency rules, other things that have disqualified some of the signatures Conyers got so he can't be on the ballot. Rush Limbaugh in his morning update today guaranteed that John Conyers will be on the ballot. That whatever law has to be bent, broken, twisted, folded, spindled, or mutilated will happen. I agree. I find it difficult to believe that he would have to end up going on a write-in, because after all, he is John Conyers. And somehow, some way, they will find some loophole to put him on the ballot. I will go with Limbaugh on that prediction, that some way they'll get around this. You have been in Congress for 24 terms. For those of you doing the math at home, that's 48 years. 48 years. I was five. You weren't even a twinkle in somebody's eye, Jason, or a distant twinkle. At best, I was five, and he can't figure this out. He can't figure this out. He couldn't get on the August 5th ballot for the Democratic primary. If he doesn't get them to bend, break, or whatever the law for him, he is then going to have to be a write-in candidate. No way. No way. That's got to happen. All right. Settle down over there, smart aleck. Well, how am I supposed to keep track of all of these things? That's why I have a producer. And because I have a producer, he reminds me that it's because it's 9:50. I want to tell you about Proactive Weight Loss Solutions. And although I'm no longer officially on the program, the guidance I got from Dr. Litwin allows me to continue losing weight. You know what else allows me to continue losing the weight? Anyone who's married would know this. My wife is on the program. Well, Turnabout's fair play. She lost weight while I was on the program. Now she's officially on the program because she was so impressed with the success that I had. We purchased it for her. And even when she hits those plateaus, Dr. Littman helps her out. So I'm still pretty much, you know how it is. I'm on the program in terms of the food I'm eating, not all of the supplements and the advice and everything she gets, but it's still helping me out. But what's really important is you've got to know what the whole program entails. That's why you need to talk to Dr. Littman and any help you would need. He's there for you. He's been there for my wife and me. And remember, wherever you are, central Wisconsin, Lakeshore, you can do this. It works out. Don't let geography stop you. He'll be there for you, too. Call Dr. Littman at 920-268-1386. That's Dr. Jason Littman. 920-268-1386.
Join the Jerry Bader Facebook fan page. Go to jerrybadershow.com.